shoot from downtown for three. It's 56-45 at the half. Technical, number 23, 3 second violation, number 11. Traveling, number 4.
You're listening to Hamster Wheel Sports, the podcast where we refuse to discuss any sissy topics that aren't relating directly to sports. My name is Matt Seeley.
And my name is Book Bratch.
Welcome, Book. Well, here we are in my home in the mountains. Oh, do you have something to say?
No, I got nothing to say.
Okay, yeah. You look like you're leaning into the mic like you had something to say. We're here in my forest home in the mountains of North Vancouver, Upper Lynn Valley. That's where I live. So the audio is going to be shit today. This is how we used to record the podcast, and it's how we're doing it today because I had a dear friend turn 30 years old last night, so we didn't do the live broadcast from the booth where we normally record. But we're doing it today, the day after Game 2 of the NBA Finals between the Cavaliers and the Warriors. The waking nightmare that is the Cavs-Warriors Finals. Again, I hate watching this stuff, Book.
The first game was a classic. Like, that was an incredible game. Like, that was a legendary performance by LeBron. And they just blew it there at the end. And as soon as that game went to overtime, you just could tell this was Golden State's game. And there's even like that footage that came out of LeBron, especially when he finds out that they had a timeout after JR rebounded it, and he just puts his head in his hands, and you could tell he was defeated in that moment. And if only they had been able to pull that out, I think we have a series, but now they're in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what can we say about Game 1 that hasn't already been said? It all boiled down to those kind of three things: the JR running out the shot clock. It's so fascinating to think that JR used all his athletic prowess to charge down the court, bring the ball, get that impressive offensive rebound, and then charge down the court with all his athletic ability and cost the Cavaliers the game. Like, for the moment when he was running away with the ball, he's thinking, like, I just sealed the game.
Well, that last play was a comedy of errors. Like, first of all, Kerr not putting his rebounders in, even though he's going to call a timeout, so you can put in Looney, you know, to rebound there. Then George Hill misses the free throw, which, you know, was the big thing right there. And then Durant doesn't box out, which is incredible not to do in such a critical moment. And then because of that, JR is able to get, you know, the lucky bounce and able to snag the rebound. And then, of course, he pulls the ball out, even though there's barely any time left. So it was just a ton of errors on that play. It was kind of funny that would happen in such a critical moment in the NBA Finals. The one thing that the Cavs have going for them is that they're not getting blown out of the water. And LeBron is playing amazing. And what's killing them right now is the role players are not stepping up. But the thing that's kind of has always been universally true about role players, and especially in the playoffs, is they play much better at home. So the nice thing is that the Warriors are not playing great defense, especially in that game one. They gave up a ton of open looks. In that game, I know, like, Kevin Love couldn't hit anything from beyond the arc. JR's been struggling. Jeff Green hasn't been able to hit anything.
I have a crazy stat here for you, Book. This is last night. This is game two. So they kept it close for 2.5 quarters. Three quarters. They countered the Warriors in the third quarter.
They went into the fourth, only down 10.
Exactly. So they were positioned well, but like you said, game one was a joke with them not hitting threes. Here's game two, okay? Off LeBron James passes. I'm going to read the player's name and tell you what they shot. Okay, George Hill, 3 for 5. Yeah, that's not bad at all. George Hill had a good game. J.R. Smith was 2 for 8. Kevin Love was 1 for 9. Jeff Green was 1 for 6. Kyle Korver was 1 for 3. And Jordan Clarkson, he only got one pass and he was 0 for 1. So that's 8 for 32, a 25% shooting percentage from the three-point arc off LeBron James' assist. And here's the number that's just crushing, that's going to make the King bury his face in his hands even more. He 5 for 16 when it was uncontested. So LeBron James is passing with an open 3-point shooter, and they're not dropping.
It is just so frustrating.
That's got to be
it's so frustrating as a Raptors fan, just because these guys are like trailblazers when they play against the Raps. I mean, they're hitting everything.
Is it satisfying to see the Cavs going through what the Raps went through?
No, because I want to see the Cavs win, and it's annoying that they play so amazing against the Raptors, and then they play like shit against other teams, and then it makes the Raptors look really bad.
I don't understand. Is it all meant? It has to be missing open threes. The Cavaliers missing all these open threes. This has been a trend throughout the entire playoffs. In games they lose, they just can't buy a bucket from three.
Yeah, in terms of adjustments, the other thing that I would like to see is I'd like to see him, like, first of all, Clarkson is garbage. I mean, he's just painful whenever he's out there.
He'll run into traffic and lose the ball or just airball it.
He's so out of control.
He can't even get close to the hoop.
Yeah, he's just not composed out there. I would like to see them to put Rodney Hood back in the rotation. I know he's been garbage since he came to the Cavs, but he's just one of, like, right now they need some scoring punch outside of LeBron, and he's kind of a wild card. He's a guy that can get hot, he can get his own shot off, which, you know, aside from Love, like, no one else can do. And he's got length, and he's a decent defender.
Anyone on the Cavs to just show out, and yeah, you're right, they need an irrational confidence guy. Because just anyone to just hit crazy, crazy buckets, crazy shots. Like, if Marcus Smart was on this Cavs team, I know he'd be letting it fly. but I guess they're getting plenty of shots. They're just not hitting them, and that has to be a mental thing. That has to be just the pressure.
Well, I mean, their shooting should improve at home.
What happened to, why do you think J.R. Smith didn't come out with a strong game?
I mean, JR...
Is it because basketball is hard?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, if a shot is falling, he'd be playing a lot better, you know? And that's kind of, it's a make-or-miss league.
He always disappoints in the finals, though, against the Warriors. This is his fourth year running, and he's never that great.
Yeah, I mean, the Cavs, they have to win these next two games. It's imperative, and they'll at least be home. So hopefully these guys will perform better.
Why do people think that's possible now when they didn't think it was possible at the beginning of the series? Especially, is it game one gave us all that kind of like a little bit of hope when your back's against the ropes? You know, like, did we see something in game one that now makes us think, okay, the Cavs have a chance, but they got to win games 3 and 4? Before the series, we all thought this was like going to be done in 5.
I mean,
what's this winning in Cleveland talk? It's impossible.
Well, Golden State still is the overwhelming favorite, of course. Like, I would give them a 95% chance to win the series, but I think the Cavs still have a small shot, especially because they're not getting their butts kicked. Like, Golden State is not playing very good defense.
That's true.
And LeBron is playing at just such a phenomenal rate right now that, I don't know, I still give him a 5% shot of coming back.
You know, LeBron James... That's true what you said about the Warriors, dude. I'll just touch up before this LeBron stat. I'll just touch on the Warriors. They're gonna rack up all these chips, just not playing to their full potential. Like, they have so much room for improvement and to tighten the screws, and they're still up 2-0.
Well, they were a well-oiled machine last year. I felt like, like, they took it to the Cavs. I think they definitely. I mean, The Cavs are doing what the Rockets did in terms of their switching everything. The problem, of course, is they don't have the defensive personnel that the Rockets had, where the Rockets had great success. But still, the Cavs, it is better than actually trying to not switch and, like, hedge and recover. But you're seeing Kevin Love having to guard. I mean, they're picking out Kevin Love every time on the pick and roll. And he's actually done an okay job.
Yeah, he does okay, but just over the course of a game, yeah, you're going to get exposed.
Yeah.
There's a 4-point play from Curry that was the turning point where it's like, okay, yeah, this is where this is really starting to hurt you on defense. And also, George Hill kept getting switched on to KD, and he did a serviceable job as well. He even forced turnovers, stripped KD a couple times. He even blocked a shot, got a piece of it. Yeah, they're switching everything, and they're doing a serviceable job. And they played a couple of good games in Golden State, man. So maybe that has given them – hopefully they have that locker room belief that, hey, we're going home. We're good at home. They haven't lost to Cleveland in I think, 8 or 9 games. Yeah, let's hope we get some compelling basketball. You're right, Book. Maybe I'm a pessimist. It has been a good couple of games.
Well, they did a good adjustment putting Tristan Thompson on Draymond to try and get Tristan Thompson more switching on to some other guys because he's got quicker feet than Love.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's definitely been frustrating moments where Kevin Love was not doing anything offensively, and then it was like, why is he out there? Because he is certainly the biggest weakness.
Yeah, a combined 2 for 17. But at the same time, he's scored well both games. Like, he's a 2010 guy. He's a 2010 guy. You got to have him out there.
Yeah, I just mean, like, there are periods where he's not really being used on offense, and he's just getting victimized on the other end.
No doubt. I got to get to that LBJ stat, man. The king, LeBron James, you mentioned, playing phenomenal. This is maybe his best playoffs ever. He passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the third frame of last night's Game 2 to take second place on the NBA Finals all-time scoring list. He trails only the logo himself, Jerry West, with I don't know how many points, but he's the second best Finals scorer ever. It was a record-breaking night, man. And not only on that side of the ledger, Steph Curry hit 9 threes. That's a record. The record was held by Ray Allen, who did it in Miami in 2013. It was a record-breaking night, and I guess the highest level of basketball you can get, but just a ton of missed threes again. I hate this feeling. For the third year in a row, the Cavs leave Golden State down 2-0. I hate this feeling. It's the Twilight Zone, dude. I'm trapped in here as a basketball fan. I hate watching this.
Yeah, It's funny because often in sports, the conference finals are the best series, just because you have that rivalry, and the teams really know each other, and often they're more competitive. And I think we definitely saw that here, where the conference finals, especially like the West conference finals, was essentially the finals, and it was a classic series that was unfortunately kind of tainted by Chris Paul going down, but I mean, it was still an incredible series. It's disappointing. I was really excited for the idea of a Houston Cleveland series, because that I think would have been a toss up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because Houston was built to stop Golden State. They weren't built necessarily to stop Cleveland, and so I think Cleveland would have had a shot against them. I would say Houston would be a slight favorite. Even watching Boston against Golden State, I think would have had some interest, just because Boston is just so much better suited to defend Golden State. Like, they could really lock them down, I think. I think they had the personnel to do it. So I think that actually might have been a more interesting series.
And it's like you said, this series has been interesting. Like, these two games have been have been so fascinating, but Game 2 was just a bitter pill to swallow after Game 1. I mean, Game 1, it was right there for the Cavs. Why are all these referees working to give Golden State points? I don't know if I'm a conspiracy theorist with my tinfoil hat up here in the mountains, Book, but I mean, why are the referees giving Golden State points this whole playoffs? They did it again in Houston. Like, the Golden State referees, you slimy refs, they don't need help. They don't need free points.
Well, we noticed it especially with Golden State, because they're just so good that whenever they get any call beneficial to them, it's so frustrating. Just because it's so hard to defend them, and you play good defense, and I think George Hill's been getting a tough whistle guarding Durant. He's had like a few nice strips that, you know, that's in which he's been called, and it's just Yeah, that was really frustrating though. In game one, there was definitely some tough calls. I mean, that was so annoying having that charge overturned, even though it was the correct call. It's like one of those where normally you can't review that, and it was only reviewable because you were reviewing whether he's in the restricted area.
Yeah.
It's just one of those, I know Van Gundy has like complained about it. It's just one of those, it's just so arbitrary on what you're reviewing, because there's like, throughout the game, there are so many close calls that invariably there are going to be a ton of missed calls or calls that are going to be wrong, right? That's just the nature of fast action sports. And so it just seems so arbitrary to be like, we're going to review that, but even though there's going to be three other missed calls that we are not reviewable, you know?
Even if we're adjudicating the corruption level of the refs and the NBA, they didn't even do it right. Because, like, why not cheat to help LeBron win so that you have better ratings? Like, why don't the refs just come on screen and be like, "And we decided to give the Cavaliers 25 free points for whatever bullshit reason. We just like sent the footage, all the game footage to Sakakis, and they all determined that we're going to give them, the Cavs, free throws." And then the people watching at home who don't understand all this, making the play like this dense technical refereeing knowledge, they don't understand, so they just have to swallow it. They just have to be like, okay, that happened a while ago. Okay, cool. Golden State gets free points. Cool. This is great to watch. It's just, it's infuriating. And you know what?
Hey, at the end of the day, though, they called the foul that counted, the one to put George Hill on the line.
Yeah. It's just, to me, sending footage to Sakakis and having these slippery officials determine, it's just a shadier look. To me, it doesn't seem as transparent. It doesn't seem like the right call is being made. It's just kind of weird that you send it off to the workshop and these people determine back there. Anyway, it got me so hot, man, because I just remember, like, in the Rockets series, because I never want Golden State to win, so it's just, it really stands out, like you said. I want to mention George Hill, just one thing off the top of my head. Like, so he played well last night, right? Mm-hmm. He was probably the second, third best Cav, because past Love, because Love put up 22-10.
No, but Love was
Love put up 22-10. Love in the was finals,
responsible
baby.
For like 15 layups. You know, like he was just even on the night. I'm sorry, George Hill was
okay, second best Cav. It's agreed. And but it's like when he scores 10 plus, it seems like he's pouring it in. Like I was like, how many points does George Hill have? He can't miss from three, and he's playing really well. And at the end of the game, he had 15 points. It just seems like,
I mean, for a role player though, like that's a significant amount.
Kevin Love is a role player, dude. Or is he only a role player against Golden State? Like he's just not.
Well, his usage rate is not a role player's usage, right? Like he gets plays called for him. He gets isolations. Like George Hill gets none of that. So I definitely wouldn't consider Kevin Love a role player.
He performs no better than a role player though when he's against Golden State.
Yeah, I agree.
He can't
but they certainly feature him. So I would not consider him a role guy.
They have no choice in the matter, man. When Kyrie goes and your second best player is Kevin Love, it's just glaring how big that drop off is in these finals. Oh well, man. Going back to Cleveland for Wednesday night, game three. Tune in to your local cable provider. So, anyways, dude, what else we got? Oh, Sean Livingston has not missed a shot in the finals.
Sorry, I'm just a quick little rant, just because you're talking about your local provider.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh my goodness. Game, which was it? Game five of Rockets Golden State, where Curry had the open three to possibly win the game, and he missed it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you were watching TSN, but TSN was promoting one of their NASCAR coverage, and the commercial went too long, and they cut to the action with Curry already having the ball and in motion, jacking up the shot. And I was completely unexpected, because obviously you don't expect it to cut in the middle of the play with only like 0.5 seconds left. And so I was not even looking at the screen. And so everyone in Canada just completely missed the last play. I thought that was just completely ridiculous to have that happen. And
I hope they got some hate mail. You trust your broadcaster to to ease you into the game and take care of you and bring you up to speed.
Oh, Raptors Twitter was losing it. That was so stupid.
Like, when I'm cooking, like in the kitchen, I'm listening to the TVs. I'm listening for the broadcast to come back and tell me to come in and watch the
play. And it was also literally, the ball was already inbounded. Like, this is one of the most important plays of the basketball season.
Imagine the production truck just like, get back to Houston.
And it was to promote their NASCAR coverage. It's like, Jesus, man.
If you're a NASCAR fan,
But TSN does that all the time. They do it all the time in Raptor games, too. There's such low production value. Like, it's amazing how much better like TNT and them are at playing a basketball game, which you'd think would be something simple. But anyways, my rant's over.
I love that rant book. I hope we have a full-on TSN Twitter beef. Sean Livingston and JaVale McGee were perfect last night. Sean Livingston hasn't missed a shot. He's 9-for-9 in the finals. And last night, Sean Livingston and JaVale McGee did not miss a shot. What do you think of their play?
I think Livingston is the big one because obviously without Iguodala, he was part of their death lineup and they've been playing Looney instead. Or Bell, and the problem is that those guys just don't get guarded, and I think and they've had more success having Livingston out in that as a closing lineup, and he's just been absolutely money from his mid-range. I mean, there was a really funny sequence where David West threw it to him in the corner for a corner three, and he was wide open, and it was like one of the best shots you can get in basketball, and he took a few dribbles in and took a mid-range and was nothing but net. But that's Livingston. He's just money from the mid-range. In terms of JaVale McGee, I mean, they played him more to get... because they've been struggling to rebound the ball. And he hit some buckets, but, I mean, really, the baskets he was scoring were just completely spoon-fed to him. I mean, I don't...
Oh, yeah.
I don't really think... he really changed anything because defensively they were better off without him. They were actually were able to fix their rebounding issues just because their whole team bought in and their guards and everyone really did a good job of rebounding.
Yeah, he didn't get too many boards, but like you said, he had those uncontested easy jams that were, it was just like a dam bursting, right? It's like Cavs couldn't plug all the holes, so what came through was JaVale McGee on a possession where the ball like sees Curry, Clay, Kevin Durant, and then Kevin Durant just pops it off to JaVale McGee, just slams it. It made JaVale look like such a professional basketball player.
I mean, like, he is a decent player.
But there's no similarities to kind of the lovable goof that he's been in the past. Like, just like coming in like buckets. It was really cool to see. Like, and he had the first bucket of the game, man.
He still had the in game one where he got rejected by the rim.
I'm talking about game two. That happens to the best of us.
That was such a hilarious, like, he gets it. He's wide open under the hoop, but he thinks someone's on him, so he starts backing down nobody in the post, and then he realizes, oh, I can just dunk this, and he turns, and he just doesn't realize he's right under the hoop and just gets rejected. It's like, what are you doing, man?
You know what? There was a really cool play last night where Klay Thompson, he was great last night. As he got the ball and he raced past half court and just got the quickest transition three I've ever seen.
Yeah, I remember that play.
Yeah, and Curry too. There's this play that's been happening a lot recently where he just he finds the corner off the pick and just catches the ball and just up it goes immediately and he drains it. It's just they're shooting so well. And why does every Warriors three, good or bad, go in? I just don't get it.
That Thompson one was a big three because I believe right before LeBron hit a big three to cut it down to seven.
Right.
And it was just like, and the Cavs were countering their third quarter run, and it was like, ooh, okay. You know, LeBron possibly heating up here? You know, we might have a fourth here, and then Clay just came in and he raced down on JR back, got him backpedaling and pulled up and just hit it right in his face. You know, it's funny when he did that, I was like, ooh, I don't know if that's the best shot because that was like, you know, I don't know if a pull up three in transition was necessarily the shot you wanted in that situation. But when you're Klay Thompson, I guess you can do that. And yeah, Curry is so good. He's one of the best guys at hunting down his shot. And, you know, when he passes, he's heading for that line, and you gotta keep on him. And he uses screens really well, and that's just become a signature play for him to penetrate, pass, and then get himself back to the 3-point line.
Man, if you enjoy the Warriors, or if you want the Warriors to win, watching basketball must be so fun. Because, like, if I felt good every time they hit these threes, that's instead true. It feels like I'm getting punched in the stomach every single time. I get so mad watching how great the Warriors are. I take them for granted. When I'm an old man, I'm going to be telling my grandkids, I used to watch the Golden State Warriors play. Klay Thompson would race to hit transition threes.
It's true, though. Like, when they were down 3-1 against OKC... And I was kind of rooting for them. Like, I wanted to go to Game 7. And when Klay Thompson had that ridiculous game in Game 6 to bring him back, I was rooting hard for him. And that was actually so amazing to watch.
Yeah.
When you were actually cheering. I think that was the last time I actually cheered for Golden State in a series.
Wow. So, anyways, man, this the finals continues. What else is there to say about the NBA Finals, man? LeBron James had a bloody eye from when Draymond Green inadvertently poked it.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised. It was. They should have reviewed it at least. And Draymond, of course, complained.
But the body language was noticeable from the start with LeBron. Just his malaise, his frustration.
You could tell he's frustrated.
Because he's exerting himself so much. Imagine like having that focus and discipline to exert every bit of your athletic ability when this greater part of you knows that like you lost like such an important game and you have little hope of winning the series. But hey, LeBron, this is why I told you to like lie down for the Pacers and get rest this offseason. Like you asked for this, dude.
Well, I mean, his workload is because he played 48 against Boston. He ended up playing 48 in the overtime game.
Yeah.
And then he played every minute that was aside from garbage time.
Sorry, LBJ. You can't sit down anymore.
He's only exerting himself offensively. Defensively, like he's not going all out, which is a big difference between Houston, where James Harden was playing very hard defense, because of course he got rest and he wasn't carrying quite the workload LeBron is. I obviously understand why LeBron's not going all out on defense, but it of course is hurting them.
So you're rooting for the Cavs, obviously.
Yeah, I just want to see a series. It'll be really lame if it's a sweep or a gentleman's sweep like it was last year.
It be lame in the context of history, though? Like, is...
Well, I don't care about history. I just want to be entertained. That's why I watch sports.
Are you you're not entertained now? Were you entertained by Game 2?
Oh, yeah, the games have been fun. The games have been... like, Game 1 was awesome.
And even if it gets up to a 3-0 scenario, it's always fun to just see game four. Like, what are they going to do here? They're probably going to win. They're probably going to drain every
all
three.
The tension, though, is gone. Yeah, for me. True. Like, once game three is over. So,
can you imagine the next NBA finals we get where it's not the Cavs and Warriors?
It'll be nice.
Oh, I cannot wait.
I definitely have Cavs Warriors fatigue.
And we're already looking forward to it. That's the issue, man. This is supposed to be the best basketball of the season. And we had a record-breaking night last night, obviously. LBJ's second all-time final scoring. Curry, 9 finals three-pointers. And we had a record number of yawns around the world watching the Cavs and Warriors duke it out. Warriors up 2-0. Kill me now. I hate the Warriors. I hate Kevin Durant. I hate Draymond Green. And anything else to say about the finals?
Yeah, I can't wait for Golden State to fall apart due to cap issues.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't wait for that locker room drama to just overwhelm them. Oh, when they lose, I'm going to be dancing in the streets, buddy. When they just fall apart and then you have Marv Albert being like, the Golden State Warriors have lost in 4. And look at that. They're glaring at each other. And Draymond's got a steel chair. Man, I can't wait for the Warriors to fall apart, but it ain't happening anytime soon. So this has been Hamster Wheel Sports. Time for a couple snoozers in Cleveland, and we're going to be coming back at you. The next episode is either going to be popping champagne for the Golden State Warriors or discussing the fact that we now have a series on our hands. So, listen to Hamster Wheel Sports, and you got anything else to say, Book?
I'm surprised we didn't talk about Colangelo.
I don't want to talk about it. Well, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. My thing is, like, I just didn't want to talk about Colangelo because I've been hearing about it all week. But what do you got to say?
When it first broke, that was just the NBA Twitter was going crazy. That was just, it's just a hilarious story. And this is going to kill his career. They're already talking about firing him. He's done.
Yeah, whether or not he is, he was solely responsible, he let the information fly.
Yeah.
And he's ruined.
And his wife is clearly repeating his opinions. I'm sure she didn't come up with these opinions
that he's a class act.
She hates him, or something like that. But by far the funniest part is how it's funny, like when like Durant or some of these guys, they get caught with burner accounts and they're like defending themselves about their play or something like that. I don't know. I can kind of understand that from just a human perspective. Like, I don't think it says anything negative about Durant as a person, but just like how narcissistic Colangelo was with his posts, like defending himself and attacking people that have gotten praise for something maybe he thinks he deserves, and like even just something about getting mad when people made fun of his collars, because he used to wear enormous collars when he was, especially with the Raptors. It just made him seem like a really questionable guy. I was like,
It's unfortunate. I mean, for him, the vanity, like you said, and the need for approval or credit or whatever, it's costing him so much. Like the way that the franchise that he's the GM of is positioned right now, like this offseason, it's like, okay, let's make some moves. Like, yeah, we got ourselves a great team, a contender here. And I mean, talk about timing. Now the Sixers.
And he made good moves, like with Redick, and like, mm-hmm. I don't know, that was like a nice move. And I mean, I guess the draft really didn't work out.
Well, I mean, they went for it. I mean, like before the season started, you know, hindsight's 20/20, right? Like, not a terrible move.
He actually did make he made some typical, like when he threw.
But he got away, the number one pick.
He threw away that second round pick for Booker, and then they just released him right away. That was classic Colangelo. Never values his picks.
This is the guy that brought Jermaine O'Neal to Toronto. Okay, so I will always think he's a bad GM, but he did amazing work in Phoenix. But you know, I mean, he's. It's an embarrassing episode, but it's also a fun scandal, okay? It's not like the Danny Ferry thing where it's like, oh, Brian Colangelo is saying like racist things incognito or anonymously, where it's just like that layer of ugliness is a fun lighthearted scandal.
We can all just laugh about.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're Brian Colangelo, just be like, hey, at least I wasn't like secretly racist. I mean, dude, Colin Nerlens Noel and Jahlil Okafor, bad things. That's probably, they're the worst affected, right? Because that's injury related things.
Yeah, I think the big thing though that's going to get him in trouble is just the confidential information he was pushing journalists to investigate and to ask questions about. Like, that's in terms of basketball operation for Philadelphia, like that's a really big deal, and definitely, like, if he was doing that, like, he's gonna lose his job.
Could they rehire Sam Hinkie?
That would be an incredible story.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, it would be awesome. I would, like, I think the basketball world would love it, even though it's Sam Hinkie.
And honestly, this is a damage control situation if you're Philly. Like, you got to swiftly get rid of Colangelo and let him return to basketball when everybody forgets about this, and replace him with someone who kind of can entice free agents. Although, do you think free agents would care about this?
I think so, cuz he definitely made himself, there's already like an anonymous player that said, yeah, I definitely would not trust this guy. I think he has to go.
But you can't trust anyone. You can't trust Danny Ainge.
Okay, no, you can. Like, Ainge might trade you, yes, but the terms of Colangelo being two-faced, like, trying to hurt Embiid's image behind his back. You know, like that's not something that Ainge would do, you know? Like,
yeah.
He's just, Ainge is just a pragmatic GM. He's not somebody that's talking shit about you behind your back.
Doesn't everybody do that though, Book? I mean, can't we assume that all
No, but he was on the internet trying to spread this stuff.
Like, right.
This isn't just with your buddies having a drink, talking about how frustrating Embiid can be. He was on the internet talking to journalists saying, you know, ask questions about this. Like, he was trying to hurt his image.
Such a confusing timeline and a confusing story, packed with details. Pretty interesting as a backdrop to the NBA Finals. And I'm glad we got that last bit in there. So this was Hamster Wheel Sports. Enjoy the rest of the finals before a long, sunny off season. And remember, one more thing. Sports!
Shoot from downtown for three! It's 56-45 at the half. Technical, number 23, 3-second violation, number 11. Traveling, number 4.